If you have a phone in the sanctuary, please, let's go ahead and put it on silent. Oh, you just did it? Okay. Are you sure? Yeah, okay. All right. Come on, let's get in the Word. Mark chapter 9. This is number 4 in the series, Having Faith for Miracles. This is a series that we're doing at the end of this series. We are going to have a day where we bring in those that need prayer. Some of you are believing God as you hear these messages and having your faith built for a time when you could receive from the Lord. We've had in the last month 4 different testimonies of people being healed of cancer. I think that's outstanding, amen? In the last month of people that we have prayed for, we give God the glory because we're not the ones that do it. But let it be an encouragement to you, God is still in the business of healing people. He is still in the business of healing. Cancer is just a name. It is a sickness. It's a disease. It's a terrible thing. But the name of Jesus is above the name of cancer. God is not the author of cancer, never has been, never will be. God is not the author of heart disease. God is not the author of any of these calamities. He's not taking those calamities and putting them upon people to teach them, to train them, to try and somehow bring them to a place of obedience. No, He sent the Holy Spirit, gave us His Word to teach us, and that's how He instructs His people. People learn through things that they do, through trial and error many times, don't we? I mean, we do. But the fact of the matter is, God's not the one putting the sickness on folks. He has an answer for that. The Bible says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, and He hath redeemed us, Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says. So He has already done it. It's a done deal. And every sickness and every disease is underneath that curse, and you and I are redeemed from it. The word redeemed is a word that means to be set free from the slave market. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer slaves held in bondage by the enemy. The enemy is a cruel taskmaster. The Egyptians were a type of the enemy of the devil, the way the devil comes against God's people, the way the Egyptian taskmasters came against Israel. They whipped them. They made unfair demands on them. They treated them harshly, unkindly. And all that bad stuff happened to them as a result when God delivered His people. Mm-hmm. You have to see the type and shadow in the Old Testament. And it's there. And in that case, of course, Pharaoh was a type of the devil himself. And his taskmasters were types of evil spirits. Israel was the type of the church. The Lord has set us free from all that. He set us free out of the slave market. When Christ died and rose up from the dead, you received Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior. You, the Bible says, are redeemed. 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 The price has been paid for you to walk away from sin and free from it. See, underneath the curse of the law was separation from God. And you and I are set free from that. We are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The righteousness of God. That means brought into right standing with Him. When the Lord looks at us and sees us, He loves you. Of course He does. But He sees you as in right standing with Him because you have been washed in the pure, life-giving blood. How was that? When you received Jesus, the Bible says you entered into life. You were washed clean. What did John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the door. You remember that? The door. And that has a direct tie to Exodus chapter 12, the door in the households in Egypt on the night of the Passover, where they would have killed the lamb outside the door, so there was blood all over the threshold area because there was a drainage area around their dwelling places. And waste would be dumped in that and all. So there would have been blood down on the door threshold. They took the hyssop and struck the side of the door. Remember that? And then where else did they put it? over the top, right? Jesus said, I am the door. Do you see it? Hands, his head, his feet. And wherever the death angel came and saw the blood, he did what? Passed over. He couldn't kill people there. God's not the one who steals, kills, and destroys. Jesus in that same chapter, John chapter 10, said, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come for what? What did he come for? I am come that you might have life. Come on, and have it more abundantly. Amen? The Greek there in John 10:10 reads, superabundantly. Superabundant life. And Paul says, you and I are more than conquerors. More than. Hupernikos is the Greek word. More than just a conqueror. You're not just an everyday run-of-the-mill conqueror, Yolan. You are more than a conqueror. A hupernikos. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Greater is he that is in me than he, 1 John 4, verse 4, than he that is in the world. Hey, that doesn't mean you're not going to be attacked. As a believer, you are attacked. There is a target on you. The devil, have you figured it out? The devil hates you. But guess what? He has nothing to say about what goes on in our lives. Because we serve the Lord God. He lives and dwells in you and I as his ambassadors here in this earth. We are clothed in the armor of light. We have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling on the inside of us. And the greater one, that is the Holy Spirit himself, lives and dwells in you and I. When you received Jesus Christ as Lord, you believed on him, you accepted him into your heart, as Romans 10 verses 9 and 10, John 3 verses 3 through 5, talk about you were born again. You were washed in the blood when you accepted Jesus. What do you mean washed in the blood? I accepted him. God saw that confession of faith of Christ and counted it as righteousness unto me. So when I received, all you can do is say, I believe on you, Jesus. And that's how you walked through the door. When you accepted him into your heart, you walked in through the door. He's the door to life. Now, there are a lot of people running around today saying, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. And then you start to question them about what they believe about Jesus. And they believe Jesus was a good man. Jesus was a prophet. Jesus was this. He was that. But they come short of believing that he was deity in the flesh. We've gone over this before, and I'll tell it to you again. If you don't believe Jesus was deity, that is God in the flesh, you cannot be saved. You have to believe that. The cults will tell you Jesus was a good guy. Sure. But he wasn't God. Oh, no. He and Michael the Archangel are on an equal basis. He and Joseph Smith are on an equal basis. He and this guy and that guy. No. Jesus was the third person. Well, the second person of the Godhead. Father, Son, and Spirit. Well, if he wants to be the third, he could be the third, couldn't he? But he was deity in his deity. Yeshuat Elohim, the saving aspect of deity. Jesus, Savior, God. That's what Yeshuat Elohim translates. That's him. God was raised up from the dead. Preached to the Gentiles. And then received into glory, Timothy writes. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, verses 1 and 2. What does verse 14 say? John 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. Who was the Word? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Was God. The Word was God, and the Word, God, was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. Oh, my God. Goodness sakes, there is no doubt Jesus Christ was God and is God in the flesh. Came, set a perfect example for us to live by. See, there are some folks that go, if it's not a denomination, it's a cult. Have you ever heard that? I had a guy tell me that one day. He goes, what denomination are you? I said, well, we're interdenominational. We have people from all different denominations that attend. I said, I was raised Catholic, actually. And he said, well, you're not a denomination, you're a cult. I said, whoa. I was trying to be nice to him because he was an older gentleman. I wasn't going to be disrespectful. I said, sir, how do you go? No, you are flat wrong. So I just said, well, you know, it's interesting because you use the word denomination and that's not in the Bible anywhere. Man made that thing up. Now, if a denomination believes in Jesus Christ and believes he was God in the flesh and all that, and they want to have their denomination, fine. If they're preaching that, you know, it's their business. I'm not going to say anything bad about that. But the fact is, it's a confession of Christ that matters. Okay? So, as believers, we know that, don't we? But there are times we need to reaffirm that. There are times that we need to look at that again. Anyway, but we're not anymore. Let's go on with this. Mark chapter 9. Title of the message is Pretending Won't Do. In Mark chapter 9, this is the incident that we've used it as the foundation for this series. And this is the time when the man brought his son to the disciples. He was trying to bring him to Jesus, but Jesus was up in the mount, what's called the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. Do you remember that? And after they came down, they had this marvelous, glorious time up there, and they came down, and here are the scribes questioning the disciples. And actually, they were publicly degrading them, publicly deriding them. They were coming against them, trying to make them feel foolish, because they couldn't get the son free. They couldn't get this boy free. The father brought him, and he said, I brought him to your disciples, and it just didn't work. In verse number 19, Jesus says, he answered to them, he was talking with the with all those around, the disciples, this man. And he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell down on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Remember, I read it to you out of another version. And Jesus basically said, what do you mean, if I can do anything? What do you mean, if I can do anything? If you can believe, all things are possible. Because literally what the person was questioning was, you know, he wasn't sure if Jesus could do it. Hey, come on, wait a minute. He's God in the flesh. He can do it. He can do a lot of things. Did you realize that there was something God can't do? You remember him saying in the Old Testament in a place, and it's actually reiterated in the New Testament, he said, your sins and iniquities, he'll remember no more. If you confess your sins, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He's not going to bring up your past sins to you if you've asked him to forgive you and cleanse you. Come on, can I hear an amen? Amen. Interesting. Oh, God can do anything. He put a limitation on himself. He will only do what he said in his word he would do. And one of the things he put in his word, he said, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. That's why it's so ridiculous when a sin keeps coming back to your head that you're going, Lord, are you trying to minister this to me? No, wait a minute. Tell the devil to shut his mouth. That's right. Yeah, don't you remember when you did this and you said that and you were involved in this relationship and you did this and you did that and you went out and got drunk and all those people saw you and now you come around acting like you're a Christian? Just you remember how you were. But you ask the Lord to forgive you. You got born again in there and you were cleansed and all things became new. All old things passed away and all this stuff keeps coming up. And then you find somebody who reminds you because they knew you at that time too. I'm telling you right now, God's not the one doing that. You mean he just brushes it up? No. He doesn't just brush it under the rug. He swept it away, and that's what it means. All things have become new. Old things passed away. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And by the way, so if you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, and all those old things have passed away, then the enemy comes in there and starts trying to stir things up and remind you of stuff. Remind him of his future, okay? Remind him where he's going to spend the rest of eternity. You have a great future ahead of you as a born-again believer. Amen. So here we go. What do you mean if I can do anything? If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I want you to circle verse 24 because that's a very important verse here in this entire incident. This man was believing, but he recognized he believed in Jesus. Why would he have brought the son to him if he didn't believe to a certain extent in what Christ could do? So he obviously believed, but he realized he had some doubts. He's been dealing with this situation with this child. I mean, you fall down on the ground, foaming at the mouth. The spirit would throw him into the water, try to drown him, throw him into the fire, try to burn him up. I mean, this is going on, and he's witnessing this, and he's the one having to deal with the child. And so when he heard about Jesus, because word was out about him, you know, I believe. Lord, help me. I'm having some struggle in here with the doubt. So what was going on and what was good was that in actuality, he recognized that he wasn't all the way there, which a lot of Christians today could take a little bit of a lesson from right here. This guy was honest enough to admit that he had some doubt. And a lot of word people today, faith people, our type, you know, be afraid to say that, man, I'm struggling a little bit here. I can't let them see. You know that commercial, don't ever let them see you sweat? Well, no one wants to see you sweating, okay? I'll give you that. But the fact of the matter is a lot of Christians are so concerned that somebody will think they don't have enough faith. Pretending won't do. There are Christians pretending today because they're so aware of that person over there, this one here, the pastor, this person over here, that one. Oh, they might think I don't believe. Guess what? It's not about the person over there. It's about you and the Lord. Faith is very personal. Can I hear an amen? Are some of you chilly? There's one chilly. Chilly. Give them some chilly. No, just, we're giving them chili. Give them something, some hot sauce. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, so just a degree or so. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So there's a lot of Christians doing that today. But I want to touch on a couple of things quick. It's absolutely true, and we know that Jesus helped him with the doubt. Did he not? Because the result followed in the next few verses. Verse 26, the boy got set free. The disciples couldn't get him free. They were a little embarrassed over it. They were a little mad at these scribes for bringing it out and pointing it out in public. And so Jesus gets him free. Of course, they came back to him later on and said, why couldn't we do it? He said, this kind comes forth not but by prayer and fasting. But obviously, Jesus helped him and got him to the point where his faith could be triggered. Because Jesus was not going to just do this with the man not in agreement. The man was honest enough to tell him, I believe, but help me, there's still some. I'm not all the way there yet. You know, in our lives, there are people that are trying to pretend that they're further in their faith than they really are. And I've got news for you. Pretending will never produce results. And if you're pretending that you're further along, because here's the thing about that. We know how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. For somebody to be embarrassed that their faith's not more developed than it is, and to feel a competitiveness with somebody else in the body of Christ, is wrong. Now, there should be no competitiveness. It's not between you and your neighbor. It's not between you and this person, that person, you and the pastor. It's not between us. It's between you and God. And your faith will only produce based on what you have inside you anyway. Some folks think that, well, if I get him to agree with me, it'll work. Agreement means there's absolutely no disagreement. Agreement means that we're on the very same path and we understand exactly what the other one is believing. And we can agree together. You'd be amazed at how many times throughout the years people ask me to agree with them. And I say, okay, what are we agreeing on? Talk about a little bit. Try to come to that point. I'm a whole lot slower to set myself in agreement these days. Because I want to be sure that I know what you're believing. Because then we're not in agreement. If I'm believing one thing and you're believing another, we're not in agreement. Then when it doesn't work, people come on and say, see, that prayer of agreement doesn't work. Well, it works when people actually are in agreement. I've seen it work many, many, many times. I've also seen times where it has not happened. And you come to find out they were believing for this and I thought we were believing for this. So that's very, very important. This man was honest. We're going to touch on this in just a little more detail, and I'll get you out of here before lunch, okay? Praise God. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2. Leave a marker in Mark 9. That's been our foundation. We'll undoubtedly return there at some point. What did I tell you? 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2. I want you to see this in verse 15. We are told to not love the world. Remember that? It's right here. Love not the world, verse 15. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, here they are. There's three things. Three things we're going to touch on right quick. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know what the lust of the flesh is and the lust of the eyes. And we understand that. The pride of life is the thing I want to touch on right now. The pride of life. What is the pride of life? That's that boasting, that glorying in what you are in this life, what you've done in this life, what you have, who you are. Don't you know who I am? Have you ever met somebody that's real proud of who they are? Don't you know who I am? No? Should I? Well. Reminds me of the time a friend of mine was up in Minneapolis and he was supposed to meet Leonard Nimoy. Yeah, that was, Spock. Well, he worked for a radio station and he was supposed to meet him and he's at the airport to pick him up and he's run a little late, but man, he had to use the restroom. So he runs into the restroom and he's standing there, all of a sudden he turns and looks and it was Leonard Nimoy. Anyway, he was just, like you could tell, the man, he said, Spock is what he said. I'm not a Star Trek guy. But you could tell the man liked to be recognized by those around. You don't know who I am? It's like. Anyway, praise God. There are those that are real proud of who they are. It's called the pride of life. This is a temptation to all of us. Say yes, Pastor Dan, I know it's true. You can be proud of how much faith you think you have. You can be proud of how spiritual you think you are. Notice what I'm saying. You think you are. You can be proud of how humble you think you are. Pride of life. Pride is not good. Every one of us in here today need to address the subject of pride in our own personal lives. Some people think they're never wrong. That's pride. They'll tell you, if I was wrong, or I thought I was wrong, I was wrong. I wasn't wrong. You were wrong. I was not. Yes, you were. It's good to admit when you're wrong. Who's ever admitted they're wrong? I don't see every hand. Oh, yeah, I thought I was, but you know. Well, the thing is, I mean, we can joke about it, but there are some that are so steeped in pride, they get mad if they're accused of being wrong, when they're flat wrong. Everyone else can see you're wrong.
I am not.
Well, pride will push you that way. And I'll tell you something. In the body of Christ, there and regarding faith, there is no place for pride. No place at all. Or pretending in faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, you're right back here at the back end of the Bible. Let's go back to the left of 1 Timothy chapter 1 and look at this. Verse number 5. We've touched on this before throughout the... last year I touched on it a few different times. We talked about the subject of unfeigned faith. You see that? Look in verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. A faith unfeigned. Feigning something is faking it. Feigning illness. Faith unfeigned is faith that is not phony. Faith that is not phony. Well, wait a minute. We're supposed to have real faith. It's not supposed to be phony. Now, the Greek word means sincere. Unfeigned is sincere. Undisguised. Oh, I like that. Undisguised. Without hypocrisy. Unfeigned. And get this. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Come on, just flip over to the right. 2 Timothy chapter, you can remember this. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse number 5. It talks about unfeigned faith in both verses. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother, it's an interesting word, Eunike. We say Eunice, but it's Eunike is actually the word. The one who enjoys good victory. That's what her name meant. And I am persuaded that in thee also. But he's talking about this real faith that Timothy was walking in. He saw it as an example in his grandmother Lois and in his mother herself. Faith that's not phony. Faith that is sincere. Faith that is without hypocrisy. Faith that isn't putting on a disguise when it walks into church and tries to act one way, and the minute it leaves, it pulls off that mask and here we go. Unfeigned faith. The Bible also speaks about unfeigned love. And you can go and find that for yourself. Have you ever been around somebody that was, man, they were just so drippy sweet. Drippy nice. Oh. And the minute you cross them, something happens and, man, they explode on you. And all that niceness turned into hatred in a hurry. Why? Because there is such a thing as feigned love or fake, phony love. People will do that in order to get something. Remember, there's a difference between love and lust. Love gives all it can, expecting nothing in return. Lust is only there to take what it can get. It doesn't give, it takes. Lust always takes. Love always gives. Real love is that agape. Chesed is the Hebrew word that's the equivalent to agape. And it's talking about covenant love. And it's covenant love. Man, the kind that will give his only begotten son. That's the kind of love. That's that agape love. That's that love that you and I need to walk in. Amen? So there is absolutely no place for this pretending in faith. Unfeigned love, there's no room for that either, because your faith is going to work by love, guys. So let me just touch on a couple of things yet here. I want to encourage you to quit trying to impress people that you have faith. Don't try to impress them. Yeah, it's amazing. I'll go to a minister's conference, and everybody there is trying to outdo one another. Oh, man, yeah, I was in 10 countries last year. I was preaching here. I preached this. I did this. I did that. Blah, 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 blah. And you just sit there. We're standing in line for registration at a conference, and you're hearing the stories. And one's trying to outdo the next one. One's trying to outdo. I'm like, you guys, golly, it's not a competition. Let the works speak for themselves. You ever notice people that are doing stuff don't have to try to tell everybody, look what I'm doing? When I was teaching tennis at a country club in Milwaukee, I did that for a number of years, and I'll never forget the people that really had the money versus the ones that were in there by the skin of their nose. Skin of nose, teeth, whatever it is. Skin of their... Don't go there. Skin of their teeth, whatever it is. They were barely able at the end. They somehow got the money up to become a member, and it was expensive at that time. And then the ones that really had it, they didn't try to act like it. But the other ones were all trying to impress everybody. Look at me. Look at me. Pride. There's actually a fear among word people, faith people like us, of not having faith. And this has actually been the case in some of your lives. I'm sure of it. You're afraid somebody's going to find out you don't have as much faith as they think you do. Well, I think I would just come clean before the Lord and quit trying to show everybody and quit trying to act a certain way. Live your life. If your faith is not there, if you've wavered some, if you've had some struggles with doubt, admit it before the Lord. He knows it anyway. That doesn't mean turn into a person who confesses all sorts of ungodly stuff and total unbelief and doesn't speak the word. I want you to speak the word, but I also want you to be real about where you're at. You cannot get your prayers answered based on where your faith level is that you're pretending it's at in front of everybody else. You will receive based on where your faith level really is. And God knows. You don't get answers to prayer by pretending to be at a certain level. He will not meet you where you pretend to be. He'll meet you where you're at. You need to write that down. That's the truth. Amen. So, Lord never is going to partner with something phony or false, is he? Okay, quickly, what does pretend faith look like? Ooh, man, there's an example in the Word of God. Turn back to Numbers chapter 14 quickly. I was looking through some of my notes from the past because I had gone back to this portion of Scripture, Numbers 14, and I remembered in August of last year, I brought this same example out to you, and we'll touch on it again. Israel is, man, I mean, they're in rebellion. They have rebelled against the Lord's commands. 10 different times in major ways they rebelled against the Lord since he brought them out of the Egyptian bondage. And he told them, they're going to go into this land that I have prepared for you, so on and so forth, but they refused to do it. This generation of older people that came out of Egypt, they hate Caleb and Joshua. They want to kill them, get rid of them, get some new leadership in there. Oh, yeah. They're just at this point, they're just in flat rebellion, and they're grumbling and complaining, and we want to go back to Egypt, it was better back there, so on and so forth, and the Lord is finally just up to here with it. He says, I'm fed up with it. You've been saying this, that's what's going to happen. You're going to get what you've been saying. So what do they do? Look in Numbers 14, look at verse 41. Where am I here? In Numbers 14, verse 41, wherefore Moses said to them, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord, but it shall not prosper? What they wanted to do, they wanted to get up and they said, oh, okay, well, no. The Lord said, you're going back into the wilderness. That's what you've been wanting. You're going there. And they turn around and say, no, we're going to go up and we're going to go take the land now. You remember this? Y'all remember this? And it sounded like faith. But in fact, the Lord told them they're not going in. He told them, you're going back into the wilderness. That's what you've been wanting. You're going to get what you want. And in fact, you're going to die in the wilderness. And it wasn't until that generation actually did die off in the wilderness that the other generation, their children and even grandchildren, were able to go into the promised land. All that wrangling and rebelling and all of that strife that was going on, it cost them dearly. But it looked like they were in faith, and Moses called them on the rug about it. You're transgressing. Get this. You can't have faith to do something that God had said you're not going to do. Where did they have faith now? All they could have faith for is to go back into the wilderness. But now they're wanting to go into the land. Oh, we messed up. We want to go into the land. No, it's already settled. You're not. You're going out here. This is what you're going to do. So it looked like they were actually in faith, but they weren't. They were in flat-out rebellion before the Lord. There is a parallel in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 40 through 42, and you can just make a note of that. But trying to have faith contrary to what the Lord has said will never work. Amen? Amen. Amen. You never receive from God based on what God can do. Write this down. You never receive from God based on what God can do. You can't. That's not how you receive. You receive according to your faith. It's not based on what God can do. It's based on your faith. Amen? So, we have to keep the pretending out of all of this. You can't let the pride of life get in. You can't let stuff get in that'll try to steal your faith away from you. You can't pretend and live a two-faced life, a hypocritical life. Hypokrates is the Greek word, and it means to hide behind a mask. We get the word hypocrite from it. You're this guy at church. When you leave, you're this guy. You got all smiles, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And when you're not in here and somebody wrongs you, well, you blankety blank. Now, listen. And out there in the world, you hear that stuff, don't you? Yeah. Hey, I will confess, I know all the words, okay? Before I was a believer, I used them. But the fact is, when you're born again, and you're going to walk this walk, it can't just be in the four walls of the church building. It's got to be out there because you spend the majority of your week out there. Your life's out there. It's not in here. I spend more time here than anybody else, maybe Pastor John. And my life's out there too. So we can't pretend here. Now, I don't want you to come in here using four-letter words. Ah, you blankety blank, you took my seat. You think that hasn't happened, right? I had a guy who was ushering for me one time. I had a guy stand up. He wasn't in this building. He was in the building before we built this. Two buildings before. And this guy was causing a ruckus in the back. Hey, you're blah, blah, blah. He's saying stuff. And I said, sit down. You know, love you, but sit down. Be quiet. If you don't like it, you can go. He got up again. Well, this usher is a pretty rough cut usher. I guess he was a rusher. Anyway. He goes back there, and I see him get up next to the guy. And he's saying something in his ear. And that guy went out the door. Quiet went out the door. So I asked him after the service, I said, what'd you tell him? He said, I told him if he didn't shut his blankety mouth, I was going to beat the S-H out of him. And to get the H-E-L out of here! I said, serious? You actually said? He said, yeah. Well, look, he left. I said, well, yeah. I said, man, you can't do that. Now you're down on his level. In fact, you're lower than his level. He wasn't cussing. You know. I said, there's a polite way to escort somebody out. So ushers, take note of that, okay? You know. I'm gonna beat the... No, you don't... Oh, lordy, lordy. Word gets out. They'll beat the blank out of you at Solid Rock if you start making noise. Yeah. Gee whiz. Ay, 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 ay. He was trying to be real, but then... Listen to me. We'll close with this. What does the Bible say that God does to the proud? He resists. James 4, verse 6. It's there in the New Testament. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. God resists the proud, but gives grace to who? Gives grace to the humble. Grace is help. He'll give help to the humble. He resists the proud. I've got a lot of faith. I've got to show them I have. He resists that. He resists that. He resists that. He'll give grace to those that are honest about where they're at. You know, have you figured it out yet? You can't snow God. You might be able to snow everybody in here, but you cannot snow God. Fool them. You know what I mean. Fool. He knows exactly where you're at. He will give grace to the humble, help to those that are humble, but he's going to resist those that are in pride, even those who are born again, spirit-filled, in pride about how much faith they have. You don't want to be in a position where God's resisting you. Now, don't think I'm saying that you should have these horrific confessions coming out of your mouth. No, you need to watch your lips. You need to ask the Lord to put a watch over it. You need to be speaking God's word about your life. But if you're struggling with some kind of doubt, don't pretend that your faith is at such a level. You need to say, okay, I need some help here. Help me, Lord. Because if you try to go on pretend faith when the results don't happen, the next time you try to pray, because they will not happen, you will not get results. The next time you try to pray and you're still in that position, the enemy will remind you of, yeah, remember when you tried it last time? So pretending will never work. Having phony faith will get you in trouble. I'll give you two quick points. Two quick points, and here's the end. These are some things I want to point out to you. Number one, beware of trying to hide things from people. Beware of trying to hide everything from people, from everybody. Pride will always try to hide stuff. The Lord will uncover it anyway. So yeah. You ever had something, somebody find out? I went to the hospital one time, get this. And I had a man in the church at the time who was, I told him, you need to admit when you're wrong. You got pride in your life. He was older than I am and all that, and in the word longer than I was, but boy, pride. He, that man would never have been in his room. Get in the hospital, and he had a condition, and the doctor came in. And the doctor said, well, I said, do I need to go? You know, I can step out. Oh, no, no, Pastor, it's okay. You stay here. You can hear what he says. And this was a man who was acting as a pillar in the community. And the doctor came in, he goes, how long you smoked? His eyes got big. He looked at me like, shoo, the cover just came off. And I wasn't going to go, yeah, how long have you smoked? I'd do that. Come on, man, I'm not into that. I'm not going to try to embarrass somebody. But he was embarrassed. Well, on and off more on than off for about 40 years. He said, I can see it in your lungs. Man ended up dying of that condition over the years. And it's sad, but he knew Jesus. He was born again. He was born again, man. Born again. Loved the Lord. But that pride came off in a very public way. He never mentioned that to me again. Never brought it up. I never brought it up either. It's not my business, okay? I asked to go out of the room. I hear stuff all the time I don't want to hear. Oh, please don't tell me that. No, I don't want to know about that. Just leave it, please. I want to enjoy my day. Yeah, but you got to know. So beware of hiding stuff. There are people that are hiding the fact that they need to go to a doctor, and they don't even want to let you know if they do go to a doctor, because they're going to think I don't have faith. Are you kidding me? Doctors are your friends. Medicine is okay. If you're not there to receive without going to a doctor, go get the stinking surgery. Go get the thing taken care of. Go and and pray when you go. Number two, I said this to you before, but this is the last one. Don't try to show everybody how you have a lot of faith. You're setting yourself up for a fall doing that. It's between you and God. Faith is very personal. You say, well, Pastor, I thought we were a Word of Faith church. We are. This is some of the practicality that has been avoided in a lot of Word of Faith churches regarding the faith of the people. I'm not walking around confessing sickness and disease, poverty, any of this stuff over my life or yours either. But I am being real about where I'm at in my faith. And I will take time to get into that word to have my faith built up. And continue to do that. I don't have to try to show this person, that person, or that one how much faith I have. It's not between you and me and God. It's between me and God. It's between you and the Lord. And it's not a competition. That'll stop your faith completely. Can I hear an amen? It is the truth. It is the truth. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Come on. So you say, well, Pastor, this is a Having Faith for Miracles series. Yes, it is. And this is one area that you need to address. Because real faith receives miracles from God. Boy, you betcha it does. The miracles we've seen, based on real faith. It's not phony stuff, not phony junk. It's the real thing. I've seen God do miraculous, mighty things. And and that's why I'm telling you what I'm telling you, because phony faith never works. So we're going to keep that stuff out. Amen. Can I hear an amen? We want to keep that out. We want to be honest before the Lord where we are at. And don't look and go, oh, see, I think so-and-so's over there in their faith. They have a lot of faith. Oh, yes, you have a lot of faith. Oh, she has a lot of faith. Oh, don't do that. Do not do that. Faith is a personal thing. Where your level's at, between you and God. recognize like this man recognized in Mark chapter 9. I need some help here. I'm believing, but man, I'm struggling a bit here. Help me out, Lord. And the Lord will see to it that you hear what you need to hear. The Lord will see to it that your eyes fall upon what they need to fall upon in the Word. He'll send somebody to say something, and you're going, whoa, you'll turn on the television, you'll pick up something, you'll see a book, you'll hear this, you'll hear that. Help me, Lord. I want my faith to grow. I want to be there. I want to believe. Faith is a choice. But faking it won't work. Amen. Father, we thank you and praise you for real faith in each one of us today. And I thank you that real faith does receive miracles, and real faith is what you ordain. And Father, I thank you and praise you that each one of us in our own personal lives will deal with where our faith is at and not be concerned about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or even your husband or your wife. It's none of your business, really, where their faith is at. Now, it is your business whether they know Christ or not. But where their faith level is, that's between them and God. But Father, I praise you and thank you that you have many methods and many means to bring about healing in people's bodies. You will use doctors. You can do things instantaneously, miraculously. And we thank you for that. And we praise you for the end result being healing, whatever method is employed. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. We bless you. We praise you and give you glory, sir, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.